and welcome back finally to the Cult Sleaze and Extra Cheese podcast with me, Patrick. I'm joined by my co-host, Sophia.
Hello, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
Just sipping my water.
Sip of your water. Better be ready for a big catch-up.
I know. I don't know if I'm going to be able to last.
Where the hell have we been?
Been everywhere, ain't we? Yeah. Everywhere and nowhere.
Yeah. Apologies for the radio silence.
Yeah, a long time, ain't it?
Yeah, very long time. Just, yeah, I think work and life just ate us up.
Yeah, it just took us over, didn't it, for quite a long time.
Yeah.
But now we're finally sort of getting back to a fairly normal place, ain't we?
Mm, definitely.
So what have we been up to then?
Well, I think you kind of started off like, you know, it was my birthday, and then it was your birthday.
Yeah.
It was like the whole summer we were working.
Yeah, working flat out, weren't we, during the summer?
Mm, and it was, yeah, just crazy times, basically. And what did we get up to? Like, I mean, we mainly worked, but...
Yeah, it's mostly work, ain't it?
Yeah. It was just like a really weird year as well. It felt like we didn't really do much, but we just... Yeah, as I said, worked. But yeah, two of my closest friends moved away from London.
Yeah.
We dressed up as Sonny and Cher for Halloween. That was
fun. We did,
fun.
Yeah.
Last minute.
Yeah.
I made some necklaces. They're sold.
Yeah. Went to a friend's wedding end of August.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, that was nice, wasn't it? Yeah.
We didn't catch COVID, actually.
Well, no, not there, no. But I eventually... After two years, I succumbed to COVID, didn't I?
Yeah.
The Omarion variant got
Omarion.
Me.
We call it Omarion now instead of the Omicron. It just sounds better for some reason.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got COVID just before Christmas.
Yeah, so we had actually sort of planned to do this before, really, hadn't we?
Yep.
Sort of around that time. And then, yeah, all of a sudden I got COVID. And basically 5 days I had like a really bad head cold.
And then
since then I've just like struggled with like being able to breathe and walk.
Oh, poor thing.
Yeah, so maybe during this podcast I might sort of have to stop every now and again whilst I'm talking because I've run out of breath basically.
Yeah. Stretch your legs.
Yeah.
Oh no, I feel so sorry for you because you were quite bad, and this was before Christmas and just after I came back from a holiday in Sweden.
Mm.
So I went to Sweden in November to just catch up with family, and it was minus 17 degrees, which was pretty cold, but it was very nice.
Icy.
I got back to work one day, and then you had COVID, so I decided to isolate as well. So.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, lucky for you, ain't it?
Yeah, I mean, I slept on an inflatable mattress in the living room for a week.
Yeah.
You were stuck like a golem in a cave in
was,
the bedroom.
Yeah.
I cooked, I cleaned, I put food on the tray like you were my prisoner.
Your body couldn't cope with it, I think. You must have got into shock, all this work. Ever since I've come out of isolation, that's been it.
No.
I've been going to work, come back home and going back to work again.
But you're much better now.
Yeah, I'm better than I was. Yeah, I'm still struggling a bit.
Yeah, and can you believe it? I never got COVID.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it was very lucky.
As I said, I'm a cockroach.
Yeah, you are. Yeah.
Yeah, which is really weird because I'm definitely the one in this relationship that always gets sick, always get ill,
yeah,
always gets the cold.
Very weak immune system.
Touch wood, like, yeah, just didn't get it. Or haven't got it yet.
Mm. I still think it's because you took that time off work.
Mm.
So your body was able to rest and recuperate.
Maybe.
Mine was just done.
Yeah.
Mine had just given up. I mean, it's been a good 10 years since I've had time off sick from work, so...
Yeah, because you never call in sick for work. You, like, always push yourself. You, like, even you have fear, you're like, I go into work and just
yeah,
deal
no matter
with
what.
It.
Even when I had tonsillitis.
Yeah.
As my friend Ryan said, I wear it as, like, a badge of honour. It's like a gold medal.
Aww.
I could have both my legs missing, but I'd still, you know, be able to put stuff on.
Stand by the till.
Yeah, stand by the till, yeah.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though.
No, you're not working in the shop anymore.
No, I've been liberated.
Yeah.
I'm there. In the warehouse, and yeah, it's a much bigger job.
Bigger job, but it's a bit nicer. You're away from
much
customers.
Nicer. I'm away from people because I hate them. Mm. Yeah, customers are the worst. But yeah, now I can just sort of, I'm basically doing whatever I want.
Mm.
But that's also a bad thing because I'm having to do everything.
Yeah.
I'm basically doing like 5 different jobs because we're short-staffed.
I mean, we're short-staffed everywhere, in, like even in the shops. But I'm not really going to be in the shop either for a month now.
You're moving away now, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm coming where you are. Yeah. I'm going where
you are. Can't stay away.
No, I can't stay away. We can't stay away from each other. So I'm going to start working in the office as well and handle the social media, which I think can be fun, but a bit scary, but challenging and more exciting.
But it also means now that we can, you know, get back to doing stuff like this because we'll have weekends off.
Yeah, bank holidays off.
We've never had in our lives.
We have.
It's very strange.
Yeah, Monday to Friday job, finally.
9 to 5.
Oh my God.
We're like almost real humans.
Yeah.
It's very weird.
Can see friends on the weekends if there's any friends left in London. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, we also did some movie-related things, didn't we, sort of near the end of the year?
Yeah, we did.
We were going to go to the Horrorcon in Manchester, but we left it too late, basically, didn't we? We got the tickets, but we just left it too late to book our accommodation and travel.
We were like, we don't have enough money to do this. It's really bad weather. Do we really want to take a train up to Manchester? Nah.
No, there's nothing wrong with Manchester, no.
No,
it was more just that it was about £300 to get up there.
Yeah, but also, you know, I got tickets to get a meet and greet
PJ Souls.
Yeah, with PJ Souls from your mum.
For
my birthday, which was really nice. And I was so looking forward to it, but she cancelled. And a lot of other guests at the HorrorCon cancelled.
Yeah, because of COVID and stuff.
Yeah, so it just felt like it wasn't really any point.
And then
also we heard it was a bit of carnage, that it was a bit chaotic, badly organised.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think we dodged...
Dodged a bullet there, didn't we? Yeah, definitely. Then we saw Monster Squad, didn't we? In the Prince Charles Cinema in Leicester Square.
Very good film.
With a Q&A.
Mm-hmm.
With 2 of the main guys.
Yeah, Andre Gower and Ryan Lambert.
Yeah, yeah. That was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah, and then we were 2 nerds in a queue after the film, like queuing up to meet them.
Queuing outside the cinema in like just a random queue.
A random queue in the middle of the street outside.
Whilst everyone else was queuing to get inside the cinema to watch... It was like Texas Chainsaw Massacre, weren't it, or something?
And then people thought we were in the queue to Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so they started to queue up after us.
Yeah, there's a lot of confusion going on, wasn't it? Yeah. But they were 2 really nice guys, weren't they?
Yeah, really nice guys. Yeah, and you were wearing your Stephen King Rules t-shirt as well.
Yeah, the same one he wears in the film.
Yeah.
I was wearing my New York Yankees hat, which Ryan didn't like, because he's a Dodgers fan.
Ah.
Which I've got a Dodgers one here, so I should have just worn that.
Yeah, next time.
It didn't match my outfit, though, for the day.
But it was really fun. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, it was brilliant, wasn't it? Yeah. It was better than when we went to see John Carpenter live and waited 3 hours outside that time.
Yeah, I don't think we have to bring it up again.
No, we don't. I think we've already spoken about it before, it scarred me.
Terrible. You went to a Star Trek con as well.
I did, yes. Destination Star Trek.
Yeah.
Loved it. Loved every minute. It was very reduced, though, this year. Mm. Well, last year, sorry, because of the whole COVID thing again.
Yeah.
It's always good fun with those things, but you always sort of... I feel like with those things, you always need to go there to, like, go to the talks and stuff like that. We didn't have any of that. We were just going there, you know, looking at all the merchandise. And my sister got a signed photograph of Captain Janeway.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's I don't know good. Who that is. Like, I'm so, like, lost in
the I know, yeah, I'm not really thing. Talking to you.
But I'm happy for you. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I did. I loved every minute.
But I still don't get why you didn't buy anything from the con.
Yeah, there just wasn't anything there, though.
No.
There was a plate that I wanted, actually. It was like a... Khan plate that was really good, but then I couldn't imagine where it was going to go in the flat.
You stick it up on the wall.
Yeah, I guess so. We've got so much tat as it is already, you know.
We've got almost too much now.
Yeah, so it's just getting worse.
Yeah,
I didn't want to put more tat in.
No.
So yeah, because it has been quite a long time. Obviously, we watched a lot of movies last year.
Yes.
What was your favourite films of 2021? Maybe not necessarily new ones, might could be like old ones that you've watched the first time, maybe.
I'm trying to think now. I mean, we watched so many like old films as well, but those old films almost feels like you've seen them before. But
yeah, we watch a lot of like films we've seen before as well for like comfort, don't we? We can't decide what to put on.
No.
Because it's too much choice nowadays.
Exactly. But I mean, I think the two of my favourite films from last year is definitely Benedetta by Paul Verhoeven.
Oh, yeah.
And Malignant as
Oh,
well.
Yeah.
Yeah, which was very disturbing and very weird.
Fucking batshit crazy film that was. Jesus Christ.
Two very different films, because Benedetta is very like... Yeah, you say like a non, like a religious non-film, non-sploitation. Yeah, not too explicit, maybe.
Non-sploitation.
Yeah, exploitation, non-sploitation.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you know, like nuns doing
sex
stuff.
Yeah, but sexy nuns.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
It was good. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was, I forced you to watch it. You did. Yeah, it was,
you enjoyed it so much. You watched it like a week later with me.
Yeah. I did. I really enjoyed it. And Malignant was really good and refreshing as well, because it was like really screwed up. I'm not going to say any spoilers, but it was pretty scary. It was quite jumpy, but very gory as well.
It was gory, yeah. It was hilarious.
Yeah. And then also I watched Titan. Did you say Titan?
Yeah, I guess so.
French film. Even more disturbing than Malignant. I'm not saying anything more, but like... very, very good as well. But I probably wouldn't see it again, because it's like... So it's the director, I don't remember her name, but she did a movie, Raw.
Oh, that one you were always on about me to watch.
Yeah, and Raw is very disturbing as well. It's just, I think it's just when it's so much blood and so much gore, I just feel almost like a bit sick.
Mm.
But Titan had a really good story, but it was almost like four films in one. It was, yeah.
I'd say if you like women and cars, you'd like Titan.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. What about you? What was your... favorite film? Films.
My favorite films. Well, I'm going to start with... Actually, I'll start at the bottom of the list. I'd say St. Maud.
I forgot about that one.
Yeah, because that was quite early on in the year, I think. Right? Yeah. I don't even remember now. So long ago. Yeah, I'd say that was one of my favorites, quite surprisingly.
Yeah.
Again, can't really... Don't want to say too much about it, because it might spoil it.
It made me feel very uncomfortable, that film.
Yeah, it was quite an uneasy sort of film, weren't it?
Mm.
Brilliant visuals in it.
Yeah, really good visuals.
And the most recent ones I've seen, Spider-Man No Way Home. That's me slinging my webs.
Yeah. Good for you.
You can't say anything about that one, yeah.
No, sorry.
It's good for what it is, you know. Mm. It's a lot of fan service, I'd say. It's what everyone's wanted. So yeah, if you took those elements out of the film, maybe it's not necessarily a good film.
No.
But... there's a lot of brilliant moments in it. I can't say anything, because it would just ruin it if you haven't seen it. And then Dune, I'd say, is my absolute favourite film of 2021. The new one, obviously. Yeah,
I haven't seen that.
I thought it was absolutely brilliant. I loved it. I saw it in IMAX, which I think you just need to see that film in IMAX on that massive screen. The soundtrack is just immense.
Okay. I saw the poster, and to me it just looked like a desert in grey. I'm not interested, sorry.
I mean, there are those two elements to it, yes. But there's a lot more going on. Surprisingly, Timothée Chalamet is actually pretty good in it.
Yeah.
He's not totally annoying.
No, I've got a bit of love-hate for him.
Mm.
So I find it would be hard watching him in films.
Yeah. No, I totally get it. I've got the same thing as well. Timothée Chlamydia. And then just some that I watched actually during... my recent isolation, I watched Lord of the Rings, the extended versions, because I'd never seen them before.
You did.
Surprisingly.
I remembered, I like bringing in a cup of tea when you were sitting in the bedroom full of COVID, you were watching the trilogy.
I was, yeah. It's brilliant. Almost 4 hours long for the first two, and then 4.5 hours for the last one.
Oh my god, imagine what you could do on those 4 hours, man.
Well, I spread them out. It took about 3 or 4 days, because also with my COVID, I was actually sleeping for most of the day as well. I had 2 naps a day. So yeah, I extended it a lot. It was a very extended version.
Yeah.
And then also recent TV shows we've been digesting, I'd say. Sex Education, we went back to it on Netflix.
We did, yeah, because we watched the first season, and then when the other seasons came out, we weren't really like that interested to watch them for some reason. You know, when it just seems so quirky, so all these kind of teen shows these days, it's just like, they're all the same, you know, it's just all this like, the music, and everything is supposed to be in such a quirky way all the time, and it's just...
Teen bait.
Teen, yeah. I'd be like how Stranger Things are now. It's just the similar thing. I'm so over it. I don't know why.
But it's brilliant though, isn't it?
Yeah, Sex Education. Yeah. God, I really enjoyed it.
Really well written.
Good. Yeah. Season 3 was really, really good. The latest one.
Yeah.
Yeah, better than I thought.
Yeah, I thought it was much better than the second one.
Definitely.
Because You watched the second one first, second season, and you were like, oh, watch it, it's really good.
Yeah.
I watched the third season with you, and then I went back to the second season, which was weird. But yeah, it worked.
That's just how it is.
Most recently, though, cha-cha-cha, that's me doing my karate because we watched Cobra Kai.
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
Season four? I want to say season four.
Is it season four?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Absolutely brilliant.
It's the best TV show out there, I would say. I love it. If you love 80s films and all of that 80s music and stuff, you feel the like nostalgia in this TV show. It's just so good.
It's just brilliant as well. They bring back all the old characters from the films.
Yeah, old casts, and it's like they never change, but they're older.
Yeah.
You know, even, yeah, it's got a lot of teens in there, but it's not very, like, too quirky or annoying.
No,
they are very, like, you know, the geeks are very geeky, but not, like, in an extreme way. They're just very normal.
I think it's because they're sort of having fun with it more. They're not taking it too seriously, almost.
Yeah, but, I mean, obviously, it's, like, two characters now. Like, I found it a little bit annoying. But, yeah, Cobra Kai, brilliant show.
Yeah, really brilliant, yeah.
Really, really good. Recent films I watched, or we watched, were Showgirls.
Yeah, well. Yeah, it was, yeah. Blu-ray.
Really, really good.
Which I'm sure we'll be doing on the podcast at some point, maybe next season, I think.
Yeah, and I just remember now some like B-movies we did watch, or I watched. I watched Angel 1 and Angel Avenging Angel.
Right, okay.
2, which the second one was terrible, first one was much better.
Okay.
But it's very like a cult movie.
What is it?
It's about like a girl who's top class A, grade A student, whatever, but then she's a hooker by night.
Oh, classic.
And then things happen and she works at Ellis Strip.
Okay.
And then it was just like, the second one was like literally the same film, but the same characters around her, same people playing them.
Right.
But different girl, different main girl, which is a bit weird.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, it could be a film for the pod, actually.
Yeah, I guess so. If you want. Maybe.
I watched Blue Lagoon for the first time as well.
Oh, yeah.
Shields. I thought that was very good as well. And we watched Donnie Darko.
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And another film we watched was The New Kids, which was really, really good. And I really enjoyed.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Atkins.
That was ages ago, wasn't it?
James Spader.
James Spader is like some sort of albino hillbilly.
Hillbilly, yeah. Really weird. But yeah, we should definitely talk about that because I thought that was a really good coming of age film.
Yeah, it'd be good on the pod. Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, so this was our little catch up.
Yeah, so we'll be cracking on for the rest of the episode now.
Yes.
And what's the film we're going to be doing this week?
The film we are reviewing or going to talk about is The Legend of Billie Jean from 1985, directed by Matthew Robbins, starring Helen Slater.
Fair is fair.
Fair is fair.
She was a fugitive to the police. A sensation to the media. And a symbol of courage to young people everywhere. To fight for what's right.
Where is she?
Everywhere.
The Legend of Billie Jean. Directed by Matthew Robbins. Featuring Pat Benatar's hit song, Invincible. Rated PG-13.
Okay, so that was the trailer. Now we got a little synopsis coming up about the film.
Yes.
So Billie Jean and her brother Binks dream of leaving their hometown of Corpus Christi, Texas.
Corpus Christi.
Texas for Vermont. When Binks's scooter is trashed by the local bully Hubie Pyatt. What a weird name.
Hubie.
Yeah, I know. Billie Jean goes to Hubie's father to ask for the money for the repairs, only to have him to try to rape her.
Bloody hell, sorry.
As she escapes, Binks finds Mr. Pyatt's gun and unintentionally shoots him and leading to Billie Jean, her brother and friends to go on the run, becoming folk heroes in the process.
Yes. Fair is fair.
So yeah, starring Helen Slater as Billie Jean.
Yeah, Helen Slater, known as Supergirl.
Yep, most famously, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible film.
Very long film. Love the look of it. Love Faye Dunaway in it as well. But it's so boring.
Yeah,
how can it be so bad but look so cool?
And I remember it being much better as a kid.
Yeah, same.
Like, I remember, like, certain bits from the film as a kid. And then when we was watching it now, I was like, oh, my God. And then I was just like, God, this is really awful.
Yeah. Oh, weird.
We got Christian Slater in his first role as Binks, the brother.
Yeah.
another one who looks like a blonde albino.
Yeah.
Because he purposely bleached his hair and eyebrows for the role to match up with Helen Slater.
He actually made more money in this film than being in Heathers, apparently.
What, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Because it grossed more money, this film, than Heathers.
Right, okay. So what, he got money from that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good.
Grossed 3 million at the box office. Unbelievably making more money than his star making film Heathers.
Fair enough. And yeah, he was only 15 as well.
Yeah.
When they filmed it. So he was still in school.
Yeah.
When he was filming it.
And it was always confusion as well, because Helen Slater, Christian Slater, everyone thought they were related.
Yeah.
And I read about, like, Christian Slater was kind of dreaming of them being, like, married.
Getting married, yeah.
Yeah, because they had the same son.
Yeah, yeah. Big convenience.
So cute.
We've got Yardley Smith as Putter.
Yeah.
We'll all famously know her as, in some ways, she's probably the most famous person in this film.
She's huge.
The voice of Lisa Simpson.
Yeah.
Which, when you know it, you can hear it.
Oh, you can hear it straight away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've got Martha Geiman, or Geiman maybe, as Ophelia.
Yeah, it's like the older friend in the bunch.
Yeah.
Who drives the car.
Sort of the responsible one.
Yeah, the mum one.
Yeah. Keith Gordon as Lloyd. Richard Bradford as Mr. Pyatt.
Mm-hmm.
Peter Coyote as Ringwald. And then we've got Barry Tubb as Hubie.
Hubie, yeah.
So yeah, as you say, it's directed by Matthew Robbins. He's also directed Batteries Included, Amazing Stories, and Dragon Slayer. He mostly did writing and sort of screenplays.
Okay.
Then directing, really.
Yeah.
Batteries Included is a brilliant one.
It is.
Got Mark Rosenthal and Lawrence Connor as the writers, who also wrote Mona Lisa Smile, which I'm sure you like.
Yeah, I forced you to watch it with me.
Yeah, I don't remember anything about it.
I think it's a great film.
Planet of the Apes, sadly the 2001 Tim Burton one, which is absolutely shocking. My most vivid memory of it is just actually watching it when I was in Ireland inside a church, which was very strange.
Yeah, it's very strange.
Yeah. And then Star Trek VI, Undiscovered Country. I think it's that one anyway. I might get it wrong.
Okay.
Let me just double check. I don't want to get Star Trek wrong.
Is this episode about Star Trek or what?
I'm correct.
Okay.
It's a good one. And then also Superman 4, which is not a good one.
No.
That's one of the ones I used to watch all the time though, as a kid, because we had it on VHS.
Yeah. And when you're a kid, you just rewatch stuff that you have on VHS like all the time.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like at times when you're watching stuff that is bad, you do sort of feel that it is bad, but I don't know, you just watch it over and over.
Yeah.
I mean, I did that with a lot of bad films like Batman and Robin, Godzilla. So anyway, back to what we're meant to be talking about, and less of Star Trek, I guess.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know how many times you've seen this film now.
I don't think I've seen it that many times. I think I watched it first time like 3 years ago or four years ago when we lived in Peckham.
Yeah.
And I was just like so surprised over how good it was and how I've never seen this film before.
Mm.
And also like the message in the movie was so important and it was so relevant to everything that's going on today with, like, you know, feminism, social media, a lot, you know.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you think after all this time? Do you think you still think the same about the film? I know that you've seen it a few times. Because sometimes my, like, views change on films when I've seen them a few times, you know.
Mm. No, I it's the same, yeah, same view for me.
Yeah.
Like, I still really like it. It's actually one of my top favorite like coming of age films. I think it really stands out from everything else.
Yeah.
You know, like, why didn't it become popular, this film? Like,
yeah, yeah.
Why was it overshadowed?
Yeah, I mean, like, I'd never heard of it until you said.
Yeah, because Legend of Billie Jean, it kind of recalls very similarities of, like, you know, Over the Edge, Class of 1984, and The Boys Next Door. When it's all like kind of male characters being the lead role.
Right, okay, yeah.
You know, being violent or like other things.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever. But then maybe the audience wasn't really used to have a female lead that was violent, or, you know, like in this film, like, you know, she shaves her hair.
Yeah.
She becomes like a hero.
Sort of being less feminine then.
Yeah, say, less like feminine.
Typically feminine.
Yeah, but then also like she gets exploited in the film, like with this whole Yubi's dad is trying to rape her.
Yeah.
But in the end, he's trying to make money of her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
she becomes like this on the run martyr.
Yeah.
Hero.
With some of probably the best merchandise in a film I've ever seen.
Yeah. I would kill for a Fire is Fire t-shirt or like a Billie Jean t-shirt.
Yeah, it looked brilliant, didn't
so
it?
So good.
Even a frisbee.
Yeah, I wonder what it did, if they really like burnt everything up. But
it looks like they did.
Yeah, spoiler, sorry. but yeah, I think it probably didn't become popular because of, you know, it didn't have a male lead, I would say. It
was it's possible.
It was a different kind of film.
Sort of like thing that audiences don't want to see necessarily a woman being strong.
Yeah.
They'd rather she be like the sidekick.
Exactly, standing up for herself.
Mm.
There wasn't like, I can't say any other films.
Could it also be maybe because of the year it got released?
Oh yeah.
Of all the other films?
Definitely, you were seeing a whole list of films that came out.
I know it's off the top of my head, it's Breakfast Club, obviously would have been a big one for that year.
Definitely, it was like the year of John Hughes. It was
Goonies as well.
Yeah, Weird Science.
Yeah.
It was something for everyone. It was like Rocky IV, Desperately Seeking Susan, Madonna, you know?
Yeah.
Even Phenomena.
Phenomena.
With Jennifer Connelly, Dario Argento's one. Also female lead, but very like in a different way.
Mm.
You know, giallo, horror way.
So yeah.
I don't know if a lot of teens would have gone and seen Phenomena.
It could have been, you know, like, because I feel like it's more of a accessible film of his than others.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess depends on the way they marketed it. They might have marketed it as like a horror film.
Yeah, and it depends if she did Labyrinth before or after as well.
Yeah,
how
I
big
can't
she
remember.
Was. Anyway, let's not talk about.
But like, I'm just saying, it might have got lost
in
a big pile of films that came out that year.
Mm.
Especially when you got Rocky IV being released.
Yeah.
The biggest and best Rocky film.
I haven't seen Rocky. I'm sorry.
Let's not get started.
I love Sylvester Stallone's, like, tracksuit.
That's
it. I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, I was going to say, like, the character of Billie Jean is kind of like a play of Joan of Arc.
Joan of Arc.
Yeah, Joan of Arc as well.
Yeah, well, she even watches the Joan of Arc film.
Yeah.
At one point, don't
she? She does in the film. And she also, yeah, as we said, like, she stands up for herself. She doesn't have anyone to rescue her. She just, like, becomes this outlaw and just brings her friend in it. Or, I mean, her friend wants to support her.
Mm.
And she's on the run. She's, like, on TV. All the kids are, like, looking up to her. Mm. And
there's even that scene when they're driving along some, like, suburban place and then they get stopped because some girl was being beaten up by her dad or something.
Mm.
Or was it like a boy was being beaten up by his dad?
Yeah.
And then she's like, he recognises her, didn't he? And then he gets scared of her.
Mm.
Like, that's how big she is, you know? That's how important she is.
So basically the whole thing is, like, you know, she wants what's fair, so she starts saying this, like, fair is fair, that, like, she wants her money back.
Yeah.
Because
that's all they want.
Yeah, they just want their money back.
Yeah.
For
the repairs for his moped.
Yeah, moped, motor scooter, whatever. Yeah. But instead, she almost gets raped, and that's why, like, you know, she runs away, and then she still hasn't got the money, and then eventually she gets the money, but it's not in the way she wants the money back.
Yeah, it's just like a lot of things where people just want, you know, just want an apology.
Yeah.
That's all it needs.
Yeah.
Someone just to say sorry, and that's it, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, and we're not turning ourselves into, we get it. Fair is fair. We didn't start this. We didn't mean it to happen, but we're not giving up till you pay. Fair is fair.
Yeah! But I think it's a very, very good film. It brings up the issues of, like, media exploitation and young women and then sexual assault and sensationalism of news by the media.
Mm. I mean, that could be as why... that could be why as well that it didn't do so well, because it's bringing up those topics.
Mm, sensitive.
Yeah, people don't want to be talking about... Well, they didn't want to be talking about it back then, you know?
No. I think it's time for The Legend of Billie Jean to kind of, like...
Get its praise it deserves.
Get its praise. Get, like, a limited edition Blu-ray with loads of extra material. It's got good people in it.
Mm.
Like, every friend I've asked about this film, they have never watched it.
Mm. I'm not surprised.
I think really? I know one friend who actually listens to us as well, and he knows about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just very weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Because it's got real, we didn't even mention, it's got like a banging hit song in it as well. Like such a good soundtrack well. Pat Benatar sings the song Invisible.
Invincible.
Invincible. It's like got the beats, got her singing it. I mean, funnily enough, like Pat Benatar hated the film.
Yeah.
She always stated before, like, you know, singing Invincible at our concerts, like, okay, this is from the worst movie ever made.
Mm.
And I don't know why, but maybe she thought it was like a really cheesy film.
Yeah, I don't know. I was thinking about it and I thought maybe like in like her sort of musician way, she was, you know, writing a song for a film that was probably like seen as like a cheesy 80s film.
Yeah.
And so it's not really, she doesn't see it as like an important song, you know?
No.
Or like, it doesn't mean much to her. So that's why she's always just like, she just writes it off.
Yeah.
She's not fussed about it.
No.
Whereas like, if it had been like one of her actual own songs that they had used, maybe it'd be different, you know?
Maybe, yeah. But I think that song is like the main, it's like a really big part of the film.
It is, yeah, yeah.
It's so epic, it's so like
it works
powerful.
So well, doesn't it?
And it's almost like a Galileo goosebump as well. Like, you know, that scene, it's like one of my favourite scenes when you see Billie Jean, she just cut her hair off and it's like the shot on the swimming pool. They're kind of like, you see her reflection in the swimming pool and then
oh yeah,
they angle it up so you see the whole of her. You're standing there and then she looks up and she just had her hair cut and She won't stop Billie Jean, would she? She just like,
no,
this
yeah.
is it.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to win this.
Yeah.
And it's got a very good twist at the end as well. I'm not going to spoil, but I mean, what did you think about the film?
Yeah, I thought it was brilliant. It's one of those films that you just love to put on when you can't really think of anything else to put on, you know, and it's got that comfort side to it because it's an 80s film. I always find the 80s films comforting.
Yeah, definitely. It's fast pacing as well.
Yeah.
It's not very slow.
No, it is. Yeah, it's always moving. Mm. Yeah, it's just very different from like a lot of those films at that time, you know, because you're saying like, because it's the female-led character and she just won't stop for nothing just to get this money back for her little brother's scooter.
Yeah.
And just standing up for what's fair is fair.
Yeah, and what she believes in, like the morals, you know.
Yeah, yeah, you know, and it's incredibly like colourful and funny. And yeah, even though that she's got like a love interest in it, it's not like the main focus of the film.
No.
It's more like he's sort of besotted with her and she's just like, you know, she likes him, but obviously it's not that, that's not really that important to her at the moment.
Yeah, that's what's so nice, I think, as well, what you just said. That he's just like helping her out instead of like becoming the hero instead, or like, you know, he would join her.
He's just like a normal guy as well.
Just normal guy, but I think he, what is it? He's like a rich boy, isn't he?
Yeah, I think his dad's like a judge or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, it's very refreshing seeing those kind of like old film, like 80s films that are not just like, there's the jock, or there's the popular girl, or there's the blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
you know, like, oh, I'm almost like, it's almost like Breakfast Club, you know, all that John Hughes. Because if you think of coming of age films, it's always John Hughes.
Yeah, it's going to be though, because he's always got like the biggest ones, ain't he, you know?
Goonies, all of that.
Mm.
But then what about these films? They've never gets mentioned, like, yeah, as I said, you know, The New Kids,
yeah,
Legend of Billie Jean, what else? No, I can't think of any others. But yeah, even Angel, you know, and like, it's just, it's, there's loads of them.
Just got lost in the pile with all the others.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's time to bring it back up, I think. Did you have a favorite scene in this film?
Yeah, probably the mall scene, I'd say. When they're sort of, they're planning, well, they're supposedly they're going to be getting the money back from Hubie's dad.
Yeah, and the policeman, Peter Coyote. Yeah, he's actually in E.T. as well as a policeman.
Yeah,
I think.
At the beginning. Yeah,
yeah. Which is quite funny.
I think, is he the dad as well in Monster Squad? He is.
Ooh.
And he's a policeman in that
Wait,
as well, yeah.
Let me check. IMDb.
Yeah, he is. I'm pretty sure he is. And yeah, he's a policeman in that as well.
Yeah, so the mall scene.
Yeah, so the mall scene when they're planning to do the exchange, Hubie's dad's going to be giving over the money to Billie Jean, but obviously they know that it's going to be a setup. So they're sort of planning what they're going to do, like sealing the walkie-talkies.
Oh, yeah.
G.I. Joe walkie-talkies.
Mm-hmm.
And just planning their escape route. And then the eventual, you know, obviously he's not going to give the money over and stuff like that. So then there's a big chase scene through the mall. I think there's something about that mall as well, but I can't remember.
But you know what? I just look at Peter Coyote now. It doesn't say anything about Monster Squad, so maybe we were wrong about it.
That's so bizarre.
He looks exactly like the dad in it.
Yeah, go to Monster Squad then and see.
He's in The Hitchhiker. 1986, right? 87, okay, I'm wrong. No, it's not. Look, they look exactly...
Oh my god, so they're identical. This isn't like your Lost Boys thing.
No.
And
what Lost Boys thing?
When you think that guy from Lost Boys who's like the head vampire is in everything and it just turns out it's Buddy Boosie.
Yeah, Gary Boosie. Yeah, he's Lost Boys.
No, he's not, you mug.
But who's in the...
It's a completely different person.
They look the same.
No, they don't. They look completely opposite.
They always do the same films.
What about you, though?
Well,
no. Any other sort of standout scenes, you think?
Standout scenes. It's just the theme of the film as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I don't think there is like too many standout scenes, you know, like that stand out from each other. I think that it all works really well together.
Yeah, it's really nice shot as well, you know, it's like...
I've got like sort of outsiders vibes from it as well, you know?
Yeah, you can really feel how hot it is though, because you live so it's like Corpus Christi and it's like in Texas, you could feel the heat.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, they live in a kind of
trailer park
and you can feel the theme in the film because you can feel the heat, the environment.
Yeah.
They live in these trailers in Corpus Christi in Texas. Binks and Billie Jean, they go for a swim and they're hardly wearing anything and it's just really hot. And
you can just feel the heat, can't you? It's horrible.
And it's just the dust on the ground and everything like that. But it's also like the shot of the sunset and just the sunrise or the colours and it's just... very nicely shot.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, we can go on and on about this film, how good it is, and then it's important for everyone to watch it, I think.
Yeah, well, and also you don't really want to say too much because you want people to experience it themselves if you haven't seen it, you know.
Hmm.
Like me, I hate watching trailers. I never watch trailers
anymore. I love watching trailers.
No, I just don't like watching them now because it just spoils everything.
Yeah, it
especially
does.
When you've got things like Netflix when they have trailers that go on for 2.5 minutes.
I know.
And they literally show you like the beginning and the twist in the film and then the end.
Yeah.
It's just pointless.
It's really pointless. I'm so fed up with these like apps on like what like streaming sites like watching these like films because, you know, we would spend like 2 hours trying to find the perfect film to watch and we go from Amazon to Netflix to now to Disney Plus. It's just ridiculous. You know, can't it just be like one streaming site, then you just have it? Or like, you know, when we grew up, I grew up with 3 channels. So I didn't get most of the films. I didn't get like Friends. I never watched Friends ever. Yeah, but you know what I mean. It's like you become so fussy of what to watch. So it's not like you don't really enjoy watching it anymore.
Too much choice, isn't it?
It's too much choice. Stop it. But yeah, really good film. If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. I say this about every film we review.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
But
I guess that's the point, though.
It's the point. It's the point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm happy you liked it as well.
Yeah, I did like it, yeah.
Mm.
What would you give it out of 10, would you say?
An 8.
An 8 out of 10, yeah.
Definitely.
Strong 8.
Strong 8. Not 10, but an 8, I feel I put in there. Good soundtrack, good acting, just good for fashion, good for themes, good for like, all of that. It's just a really refreshing, standing out from any other coming-of-age films that were very popular at that time.
Mm.
And this is just, the messages is just so important. And it's just very relatable to today as well.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like the whole Generation X films as well,
mm.
which I saw you and me were involved in.
Yeah, it's wishful thinking.
But I learned today we're actually millennials.
Yeah, I know.
And I'll be calling the Gen Z, which are after us, I've been calling them millennials because they're into millennial fashion, millennial music, all this millennial crap. Sorry, yeah. My language. So I've been calling them millennials. But we are the millennials because we grew up in the millennial.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean.
In the millennium.
But I'd rather be a Generation X because it sounds cooler.
So yeah, there's Generation X, then there's millennials, and then there's Z.
Yeah, Z.
So what comes after?
Don't know yet.
No? Does no. it go back to the beginning, like Generation A?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know who does this. It's just something I learned today, and I was just so baffled by it. I was like, oh, really? I think
it's a load of old nonsense, to be honest. And why did it go from Generation X to Millennials to Z?
I don't know. I need to Google it again. I just saw the list of it, and you said, like, from this year to that year, Generation X. This year, that year, Millennials. And then we were...
Yeah, when you were talking about it, to be honest, I actually thought you were talking about an X-Men thing.
X-Men?
Yeah.
No.
Because there's like
I don't know anything about X-Men.
There's a whole thing called like Generation X. So I was really confused. I was like, how do you know about that?
But do we have any trivia, fun trivia about this film?
Well, I would like to say what I thought about the film, actually.
Oh, excuse moi.
No, but I've already said it anyway. Like, I really enjoyed the film. It's my second time round. And yeah, it's really bright and colourful and action-packed. It's got a lot to say for itself. And yeah, it's got lost in the crowd, which I can understand why it has. But yeah, it's time for it to be lost and found.
I think so.
So I think I'd give it a 7.
Whee!
Out of 10.
Nice.
Yeah. It's fairly decent.
Fairly decent. Do we have any fun trivia about this film?
I mean, it's nothing much, really. It's just... I don't know if it was trivia really, but things like the cast went to see Supergirl because it had come out the year before, so they all went to see it.
Yeah, because they were, you know, they were hanging out so much, like they were like, yeah, really good friends with each other, like a family, you know. I think, was it, yeah, Helen Slater cooked like a Thanksgiving meal for everyone as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I mean, because they were all quite young. She was 22, Christian Slater was like 15, 16. Yardley Smith was 21. But Martha Gaiman, she was 30. So she was much older. She was the Andrea. Of the group.
You're bringing in the 90210 references.
Beverly Hills 90210, yeah. And then, yeah, Lloyd was 24.
Yeah. Yeah, Jolly Smith, she refused to cut her hair because there's a scene when she cut her hair short.
Yes, yeah, of course, yeah.
So she just puts, like, she had really long hair. So she just puts her hair, like I do sometimes, like just in a ponytail in the neck, and then she just tucks in the ponytail in the collar.
Oh, okay. And that's when she's got the collars up, ain't
yeah,
she?
She's yeah, she's got the collars up, and then she's got like this horrible wig, and you can see straight away, it's just like, oh, she put a ponytail on her neck, tucked in. But yeah, I literally looked so much for trivia on this film, but it was not that much at all.
No, it's not really trivia, it's just more things about it, like the Pat Benatar thing and little bits like that, you know?
Yeah. But I hope they all enjoyed making the film.
I'm sure they did, yeah. I don't see why they wouldn't.
No, I still think it's weird, it was like so underrated, but we know why it was.
Yeah, I mean, I would assume it's because it came out in a year like full of big films.
Yeah,
it's just got lost in the crowd and, you know, the whole female-led thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's definitely the female lead as well. You know, you got Goonies, male lead. Weird Science, male lead.
Yeah, Breakfast Club. Most men in it.
Yeah.
Just two women.
Back to the Future as well.
Yeah.
St. Elmo's Fire, quite male-dominated, I would say. Yeah,
terrible.
Terrible. I'm sorry, like, so many of my friends film. Are like, oh, St. Elmo's Fire is so good. And I watched it, I was like, no.
I was so looking forward to it as well, because I'd seen, like, the poster and heard about it for so long, and then we watched it, I was like, this is awful.
No. But yeah, but you had Desperately Seeking Susan as well, but that was Madonna, so obviously everyone's going to watch Madonna because
it's
Madonna.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And
that's like... the best Madonna as well, 80s Madonna.
Yeah, love 80s.
Prime.
Yeah, Borderline. What a song.
No.
No, don't sing it. You don't need it.
I tried earlier and it went wrong.
We haven't even written up like quotes and stuff, but I feel like fair is fair is like...
That's all you need to know.
The main quote.
Yeah,
innit?
Yeah. That's the whole sort of message of the film, ain't it?
Definitely. It's very Joan of Arc-esque.
Mm, it is, yeah.
They even do like a bloody statue of her in the end, you know.
Which burn, they end up burning, don't
burning.
They?
Yeah, so it's kind of the symbolism of like Joan of Arc on the stake.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And like Billie Jean on the stake, you know. But yeah, this time, or next time, we're not going to try to have such a long break.
Yeah, yeah. Now that we've got a regular working schedule, you yeah. know, it's not going to be like a day off here and there.
Yeah, life sorted out yeah. a bit more now.
It's all a bit, yeah, it's yeah. a bit more normal, ain't it? So we'll be able to be plan. A bit more regular with this and plan everything.
Plan
and, yeah.
If you're still listening to us, thank you very much. We yeah. are very grateful for your support, as always. Yeah.
If it's your first time, then I guess... Sorry and thank you.
Yeah.
Bit of a chaotic episode, you know, a bit yeah. all over the place.
A bit all over the place, but we're back on track.
Mm. Be a bit more focused now.
Focused now, yeah. And we're still going to finish off this bloody season.
Yeah, we're still on season one, but we've got two
yeah,
left.
Which is a bit embarrassing, but we are going to do it. We've got yeah. two left. The next film is actually...
Savage Streets from 1984, which was directed by Danny Steinman and stars the wonderful Linda Blair.
Yeah. I love Linda Blair.
Yeah.
And it's my year, 1984.
That's true, yeah, it is, yeah. And she is absolutely incredible in this film.
I love Linda Blair. I think she's like an amazing actress.
Mm, she is, yeah. yeah. Really underrated, I think.
Really underrated. Like people always see her as like just, you know, the girl from The Exorcist.
Yeah.
But kind of forgets all of the other films she did. Like all these like women in prison films and
yeah.
horror films mm. and yeah. Well, that's all, I think, for this time.
It is, yeah. It's good to be back.
It's really good to be back. Thanks so much for tuning in and listening to us.
Yeah, and for just hanging in there with us.
Yeah, and sorry again for all... Like, I'm sick of saying sorry now, but yeah. Hopefully we catch you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can find us on Spotify, you can find us on TikTok, Instagram, Anchor...
Apple... Pretty much everywhere now.
Pretty much everywhere.
Yeah.
We just be in your face.
Whether you like it or not.
Whether you like it or not, yes.
So yeah, thank you and we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.